Tonight, I'm going to do something a little bit different for a sermon, something I've never actually done before. And it's something that I think is actually very important to us as Christians. As Christians, we need to always be meditating, thinking about, and concentrating on God's Word. And sometimes I feel, especially as I've been coming up with different sermon ideas to present to different churches and different audiences, something I've never actually done is just get up and read to people. Read people God's Word. And we read a lot about that and throughout the Scriptures. Josiah, when they found the scroll that was been lost, the law of the Lord that they lost, the Israelites, the southern tribe of Judah, they lost the scroll. He got it out and they read for days. They just read the law to the people for days. And they sat there and they enjoyed it. I think as Christians we can use the same thing. And so tonight I'm going to challenge you to really just, I mean, it's still a worship service. We're here to worship God and to praise Him and give glory to Him. So I challenge you tonight throughout this worship service as though, I mean, I'm going to be making comments here and there. For the most part, it is going to be a lot of reading. And I know that when we're reading, our minds can tend to get a little bit distracted. It's hard to stay focused. But I'm going to challenge you to stick with me, and I'll do my best to be enthusiastic and maybe make a corny joke here or there. But please stay with me as we're reading these Psalms, and I picked out different ones that, as I've been reading through them, I was going to do a sermon on different Psalms, but as I read through them, I was like, there's so many I would never get done. So I just chose out some, and I would just really like to just read through these tonight with you guys. And so I would ask that everybody get a Bible out, maybe get a pen with you, to underline some verses, because you're going to read over some verses that are really powerful tonight. And I hope that, you know, sometimes maybe there's a little saying that I say in a sermon or a little slogan that you can take away from. But tonight I hope that it's God's Word that's doing the talking for throughout this sermon, that you can really take what we're about to read. So with that being said, I want to start by reading Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5 is written by David, and it is a prayer written by him, and it's a psalm of guidance, asking him to guide him throughout his daily walk. Now I would ask that you would follow along with me. Psalm chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In the fear of you I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let those who rejoice who put their trust in you. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. I really like verse 3 in this psalm. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. Something that we should all be striving to do, if we want to be meditating on God's Word constantly, is why not first thing when we wake up, open up our Bibles, and I know I'm very guilty of this. Right now, at college on my little nightstand, I have my Bible, but then on top of that, I have a charger with my phone that sits right on top of it. So when I wake up, what's the first thing that I'm reaching for? My phone. And so sometimes it's a good habit. Instead, I reach underneath it, slide the phone off, and pick the Bible up first. And that's something that, it's a challenge, but something we need to do. In the morning, first thing, get our Bibles out. Let's meditate on God's Word. And then in verse 8, it really shows him just asking for that guidance to God. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my faith. Praying to God for that guidance to lead him in the right direction. Look over in Psalm chapter 17. Kind of sticking with that theme of letting God be our guide in our life. This psalm is more talking about how we need God, how we can rely on him, how he's always going to be there for us. Psalm chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me, and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me, and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. O you who save those who trust in you, from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me under the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed up their fat hearts, with their proud mouths they speak proudly. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes, crouching down to the earth. As a lion is eager to tear his prey, and like a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down, deliver my life from the wicked with your sword, with your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life, and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure, and they are satisfied with children. And leave the rest of their possession for their babes. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. The theme of this psalm, as I said beforehand, is relying on God, needing him in our lives 24/7. And in verse 8, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Someone we can go to for protection. God, he's always going to be there for us. He's going to be there protecting us. And then in verse 9, he starts to begin talking about those who oppress him, his enemies. And like many of us, Satan has snares and temptations. Maybe it's people in the world that are trying to bring us down. Verse 12 describes it as a lion is eager to tear his prey. People are working against us. And it is that much more why we need to go to God, who is going to be there to protect us from that. And in verse 15, the last verse in the chapter, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. I'm not going to be satisfied until you awake seeing God's face. What a comforting thought that is for many of us sometimes. We wake up and it's just another day of work, just another day of school. Life can get very monotonous, boring sometimes. But we can be truly satisfied when we're awake and we get to see God's glory. What a great thought that is to always think about. Now we've been talking about these different psalms of relying on God and going to him for guidance. Now I want us to look at a psalm where God delivers. He comes through for people as he always does and how he can. Over in Psalm chapter 30. Another psalm written by David. Chapter 30 and in verse 1. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up, and I have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Verse 5 is a verse that I found myself using mainly to my friends of the opposite sex. Sometimes caught up and distressed with certain things. Last part, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Sometimes, I don't know why it is, females often find themselves very sad at times. And they usually come crying to me asking for help. Not sure how that always turns out. But you give them a fancy verse like this, and it's because the Lord knows what he's talking about. David knew what he was talking about when he wrote this, that, you know, God is able to deliver. And when you're feeling sad one night, it's funny how you can wake up and everything seems to be just all right. And that's possible with Christ. And then down in verse 11 of chapter 30, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Felt like this has happened many times, just a total 360 within a day. One second you're just completely down in the dumps weeping, and then just like that, everything changes and it's all for the better. And this is all possible through our deliverer, and he's able to make that possible for us. Look over just a couple chapters in 37. Chapter 37, the psalm is going to be about trusting in the Lord and how we need to put that full reliance on Him and trust in the Lord. I hope everybody's hanging in there because this is a little bit of a longer one. So, hope everybody's doing all right. Not losing anybody yet. Don't see any heads staying down when I'm talking. So, chapter 37, beginning in verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. I'm going to pause there. The first 8 verses, he says, do not fret 3 times. And then he summarizes it in verse 8. Do not fret. It only causes harm. And that's something we can always need to be reminded of. We get so worked up with tiny things in our lives, and we get just anxious about the littlest things, but do not fret. It only causes harm. Then I also like verse 2. Starting in verse 1, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass. I just kind of like that verse because it talks about how they're going to also be brought down to size very quickly. and kind of makes me think of a sports reference with the teams that are so high and mighty for so long, but soon enough their time will come. They're going to be brought down to the same field as everybody else. Now picking up in verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their swords shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish, and to smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and am now old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice, and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Verses 28 and 29. When it says, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. How comforting is that to know that those who follow the Lord and follow after him, as we read in the New Testament where it talks about there is an imperishable crown that is waiting for us. This verse kind of reminds me of that we are preserved forever. That imperishable crown, preserved forever. That spot, it's there waiting for us. But we have to trust in the Lord and do our part here on earth and be faithful to get that reward. Because the descendants of the wicked, they're cut off. But if we're righteous, we will inherit that land. And we get to dwell in it forever, eternally. Over the next psalm over is chapter 38. And something I did differently Very commonly, we read a lot of Psalm chapter 51, where it talks about David after he committed his sin with Bathsheba, that song, Psalm of Sorrow that he wrote there is a very common one that a lot of people know. But Psalm chapter 38 is also another good one, where he's going to God, sorrowful for the sin that he has committed. And so I want us to look at this one, maybe a little less commonly known one. So read this with me, Psalm chapter 38, beginning in verse 1. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. And just verse 1 reminds me of what we were talking about in Bible class this morning, when Sarah Beth was talking about her father, when he would just come and apologize because he did something when he was still angry, and he apologized right away because, you know, I shouldn't have punished you guys, I should have waited. And this is exactly what David's asking for. Please, wait. Don't do this while you're still in your hot displeasure. And sometimes I feel the same way. You just want to go and pray real fast because you know what you did was wrong. You just want him to forgive you, but not just act so quickly while he's still upset. The same thing if anybody has done something bad and their parents find out right away. You kind of want them to simmer down before they punish you as well. Verse 2. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it has also gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear, and am like a mute who does not open his mouth. Thus I am like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth is no response. For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me, lest when my foot slips, they exalt themselves against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity. I will be in anguish over my sin. But my enemies are vigorous, and they are strong, and those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. Those also who render evil for good, they are my adversaries because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord, O Lord, O my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. This whole psalm just really shows the humility of David that he has after he did this. And in verse 5 at the end he says, because of my foolishness. He knows that it was him committing those sins, and it was his foolishness that caused him to do those very things. In verse 9 and verse 10, Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it has also gone from me. We often hear the line, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And it could be summarized in those verses that physically, sometimes we're just not able to get through it. We want to, but we just can't. And then it's very comforting, the last two verses. Do not forsake me, O Lord, O my God. Do not be far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. He still knows that although he's sinned against the Lord, that that's exactly who he has to go to for help. Psalm chapter 42, just a couple over. Probably a more popular psalm. Many of you will probably recognize the song that goes with this just off the first verse. Psalm chapter 42, As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, Where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to the God my rock, Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, Where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. The whole theme of this is just seen in verse 1, longing for God, longing to have him by our side. And I'm not going to read it, but just glance over at Psalm chapter 63. The first couple of verses set up what this psalm is about as well. Verse 1, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. These two psalms commonly talk about have a common theme of thirsting for God, longing for God. And it's a mentality that we need to adapt as Christians in our everyday lives, longing for him, searching for him in everything that we do. Thank you for being so patient with me. I just have two more. One's a very short one. Look over in Psalm chapter 101. Psalm chapter 101, it's just David asking and just saying that he wants to live a holy life, live a pure life. And read through these 8 verses with me. I will sing of the mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Just a great psalm. Just asking God and saying what he's going to do, making a vow to God of what he's going to attempt to do in his day-to-day life. Those he's going to associate himself with and those he's going to try and stay away from. And something we can do as well. On making decisions on the little things in life of who we're going to be around, who we're not going to be around. In Psalm chapter 96, just wanted to end with this psalm. One of praise to God's greatness and glory. And how lucky we are to be here this Sunday. This is the Lord's day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And let us rejoice in it and be glad. And even though Maybe for some of you, this was a first. Maybe it was a little bit of a struggle to stay focused for this whole time reading. But I hope it's also been very beneficial, looking over different verses, different ways of relying on God, needing God, trusting in Him, and how if we're faithful and we trust in Him, He will deliver us. And so with this psalm, let us give thanks to God for all that He does to us and praise Him continually. And after this song, I'll give the invitation that will be led us in song. So let's read this last one, Psalm chapter 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful, and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For He is coming. For He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with His truth. And as we just read in that last verse, for He is coming, for He is coming to judge the earth. And since He is coming, now you have a chance to ask yourself, are you ready? Are you ready for that day when He is going to come, as we just read about? He's going to come and He is going to judge us. At this time, if you have not been living a way that you should, and you're not feeling confident that if the Lord were to come tonight, that your soul would be saved, you have a chance to make things right now. Or if you are yet to be saved, and yet to be baptized and put on the name of Christ, what better time than now than to come forward and stand as we sing the song selected?